grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto all of you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. At the end of every training exercise and military operation, we would do what was called recovery operations. We'd prepare everything for the next event so we weren't caught unprepared for real-world emergencies, or as Obama was liked to call them, contingencies. I think I like the word emergency a little better. One of the things the Army would do is we would wash our vehicles, get all the mud off that had gathered on the training ranges. We would then go over them with a fine-tooth comb. We'd do what's called QA and QC, or services. We'd figure out what was broken, what had to be replaced, fix it on the spot if we had the part, or order the parts, and come back the next week during Monday motor pools, we called it, and repair the vehicle. Jesus comes across Peter doing exactly this sort of thing. In our gospel text, we meet Peter working diligently at his earthly calling. He's conducting recovery operations, reconstituting, being ready for the next day of fishing. He's caring for his equipment, he's drying the nets, he's mending the nets. Peter, in this text, is an example to us in many ways. It's worth noting that by virtue of doing these recovery operations, this QA and QC of his nets, that he shows us something. He does not give up. He hasn't caught anything, but he does not give up. And so will all Christians in that which God has called us to in our earthly callings, whatever it may be. Every Christian will work diligently and untiringly, not giving up on his or her chosen vocation without good reason. Remembering the words of Paul, where he says to the Corinthians, "So brothers, in whatever condition or station in life each was called, let him remain with God." Christians do it, but you know non-Christians do the same thing. Many non-Christians I know are very conscientious in conducting the matters of their everyday vocation, be it a parent at home or be it at some place of work. They're just as conscientious, in some cases more conscientious, than some Christians. So how are we and Peter different from the non-Christians of the world in our callings? It has to do with priorities. And in this matter, Peter once again is an example to us. Peter's a layperson, but he sets aside his work for his job, the mending of nets, and so should we. When Jesus comes, he puts his work aside. Peter also facilitates the Lord's work. The Lord asks him to take him out in the boat, and so Peter uses his own personal property, and he takes Jesus out onto the sea. So should we. Finally, Peter answers Jesus' calling to follow him, and so should we. Now, God may not ask you to leave your particular vocation right now, but he may. Pastors, becoming pastors later in life is a more common thing in our synod. Who knows? In the midst of our earthly work, we should recognize that a true Christian will always bear witness to the fact that his regular job, which may take up most of the time and pay the bills, is not the principal activity of our lives. For those of us who have worked secular jobs, this can be a challenge. And I can say that I'm right there with you folks. When you're an Army chaplain, you spend more than half your time on secular tasks. You have reports to file. You have plans to devise and put down in writing. And some weeks I had so much work to do in the office as a staff officer doing non-religious work that I didn't have time until Saturday to write my sermon. So I understand where you're coming from. That was my whole world for 20 years. I had to divide my life between wearing the hat of staff officer and wearing the hat of a chaplain, a person of religion. The Christian, however, will seek first the kingdom of God. In other words, he has his priorities right. So how else are we different from non-Christians, Peter and we? Second point, it has to do with our success. We like to take credit for our success. We like to tout our accomplishments. We like to admire our awards and hang them on the walls. And the military is really good at this. You walk into some officers' offices and NCOs' offices, and they have one award after another up on the wall. You go to these events called dining-ins or dining-outs or balls that we used to have once or twice a year for the unit, and we put on our dress blues. And when you first start out, your first year in, you have maybe one ribbon pinned here. But then by 10, 15, 20 years, you're strutting around. You got a whole rack here, man. You got like 20 awards. And you're looking at the guys who are newbies. Folks, we like to admire our awards and our success, don't we? But Peter does not attribute his success to his own efforts in our text for today. He does not believe that he can preserve himself by his own work, his own diligence, his own wisdom. He knows that if he has any success, the credit has to go to God. He waits on the Lord. And if he fails at a task, he does not lose heart. If he succeeds, Peter and we should give God the credit. Peter does not bind himself to earthly things. We should be concerned with earthly things, but we should not be owned by earthly matters, whether it's some issue in our lives, whether it's our possessions. They should not control us. And Peter separates himself from the matters of the world that he may be owned by God. So how else are Peter and we different from non-Christians? Point number three, we recognize God's hand in our lives. Jesus asks Peter to go against common sense. To understand this, we need to get into the text a little bit here. So here we are, and in our text for today, we're at the Sea of Galilee, but it calls it the Sea of Gennesaret, or Kinneret in the Hebrew. Now, this is a name for an important town very close to Capernaum on the northwest corner of the Sea of Galilee. And what is happening here is that they are calling the lake the Sea of Galilee after the town. It's what they're doing. It's actually the name of a town, Gennesaret. And it's been named that way since possibly as early as 2500 BC before Christ. Now, the Sea of Gennesaret is 8 miles wide by 13 miles long by approximately 48 yards deep. And if you were to take it and lay it on top of Lake Mille Lacs, it would fit inside Lake Mille Lacs. Totally, completely. Lake Mille Lacs is 14 miles wide, 18 miles long, and about 43 yards deep. They're both about the same depth. Now, freshwater, the lake is a freshwater lake fed by springs underneath the Sea of Galilee and also by the Jordan River. So, how many of you are fishermen here? Or women? Anyone? I do a little bit once in a great while. You know then, and I know from my experience with my dad, who was an avid fisherman in our earlier years, that the best fishing is typically at dusk or dawn, right? Or sometimes even into the night hours. And you would go into the shallows, or into the reeds and so forth, looking for some certain types of fish, but you wouldn't go to necessarily the deepest place in the lake. Well, if you look carefully at what Jesus tells Peter, he tells him to go out. It is now probably mid to late morning. So it's not dusk or dawn. It's not a very good time in the day. And he says what? Go to the deep. Go to the place where you would not expect to catch fish at the time of day when you would not expect to catch fish. Peter whines a little, but he complies. He's motivated by God's command because his word says so. And they catch a massive catch at the wrong place, at the wrong time, and after complete failure the night before, they get this massive catch of fish that fills two boats to sinking. This is how true Christians work. We comply willingly and out of faith. But since we don't always do well on this account, we would do well to remember our Lord Jesus complied out of faith to his Father's will for us. Sometimes we get it wrong, folks. Sometimes an opportunity pops up that we just totally miss. We are not always faithful in our service. But this is where Christ also helps us. When it comes to priorities, he had his priorities right. He forsook all to follow his calling as Messiah. He forsook a house, a home. He did not take a wife. He did not seek the honor of men, and in fact was demagogued and blasphemed by men and had no good reputation in his days. And when it comes to success, Jesus did not admire success. Paul tells us, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." And that is from Philippians chapter 2. So Jesus does it for us. He has his priorities right. When it comes to success, he does not get enamored by success, but fulfills his mission and his work. And when it comes to recognizing God's hand, Jesus doesn't need to recognize the hand of God because he is the hand of God in our lives. You know, there was this rascal who cheated his partners in crime and had been thrown, therefore, by his cohorts into a very deep well, left there to drown. And as he treaded water calling for help, he could not hear anyone. But then a man traveling through the area came along, saw the rascal treading water, and knew he couldn't last much longer. So the traveler jumped down into the well with the rascal and allowed him to climb on his shoulders to safety. But the well was deep. It was deeper than the traveler was tall, and the traveler couldn't swim. Well, when the rascal had recovered up on the top side, he went to the well to look down to see if he could help the traveler. But by that point, the traveler was floating dead in the water, face down. The traveler gave his life that the rascal might live. Well, of course, in this story, you and I are the rascal in the well. The traveler is Jesus. But he didn't jump down into a well for us, but hung on a cross for us, that he could pull us out of the dark pit of the sin in our lives. The rascal, out of a sense of debt and gratitude, reformed his life and opened a shelter to take care of homeless travelers passing through his area. He gave them food, shelter, and told them of the traveler who had saved his life and changed it. That actually is what our text is talking about today. We are the rascal, the traveler. Jesus has saved us, and now he calls us, along with that other rascal, Peter, to become fishers of men, to spread the good news of salvation to those around who have not yet found that hope, that they might know about a Jesus who died for them, rose again, loves them, forgives their sins, and wants them to be his children one day in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses only our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in the true faith to life eternal. Amen.